This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
The very handsome Jewish man, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Can I just say one thing, Don?
Sure.
You're not Don.
It stands,
but it's Don. Not!
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to ENN.
Ray Rowe.
That's right. ENN tonight, you know who it's brought to you by. The Professional Fighters League.
That's right, always.
I'd like to start off, at least right now, I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Don.
I love going to camp.
And good evening to Don again.
I always say advertisement because it makes me sound smart.
And good evening to myself as
well. I don't know that I hope that she finds my tongue mucus attractive.
See, you went old school. You didn't do anything today? You did nothing interesting today. That's what I take from
a
drop from a month ago.
Yeah.
Is that Peter contributed nothing today, and I refuse to believe it.
That hurt. What you're
saying? You've been a star today.
What you're saying hurts because it's true. That's the part that bothers me, Don.
Syndergaard to the Phillies.
Okay, let's jump
Syndergaard
right into
and Wheeler
it.
On the same rotation, so they're kind of going like old school with the Mets. Get Harvey in there at some point, maybe. And Kansas City made a deal sending Whit Merrifield to Toronto, as they say up there, Toronto.
Toronto. Well, let's see.
What else you got?
The Mariners have announced they have Jake Lamb from the Dodgers for a player to be named later.
Lamb, I just remember him because when he was with the Diamondbacks, he killed the Giants for some reason. So that some things kind of just stick with you a little bit. But that's all I got on that.
Philly's doing a lot today, huh?
Yeah. Well, they've added a starter. They've added a reliever in Robertson. Oh, by the way, the Harrison Bader, the center fielder that the Yankees got for Montgomery, has plantar fasciitis, so he's on the IL. He's in a walking boot. But the Cardinals say they expected him to be back before the end of the season.
Also, I've heard that Harrison's family, their nickname for him is actually just Master.
Yeah. Sorry. And that's a joke from McCoy. A movie from the 80s that the late Richard Pryor, from his grave and from heaven, looks down and says, did not age well.
Let's see. Of course, today, Juan Soto and Josh Bell to San Diego. The Padres also dealing for Brandon Drury.
Padres are pretty loaded. Remember, they're still going to get Tatis Jr. back. Pretty top-heavy National League West.
Red Sox taking on Eric Hosmer's contract.
I like him.
Of course, this has been a topic of conversation.
They hated him when he was a Royal, though.
Well, of course. Wait, why'd you hate him as a Royal? Oh, 2015?
Yeah, there you go.
Joey Gallo going to Los Angeles.
That's right.
That's right. Your great national nightmare is over. Joey Gallo has a home in L.A., and now I sort of fantasize about a Dodger-Yankee World Series in which Joey Gallo has just a massive at-bat at Yankee Stadium. It'd be beautiful. That's what dreams are made of.
So you want to really stick it to the Yankees as well?
It's not about
fans.
I'm not saying I want him to succeed in the at-bat. I just want the setup to be there because it sounds fabulous. All right, let's refresh, see if anything's come down in the last 30 seconds. Contreras and Happ staying with the Cubs. So there was a lot of interest in Wilson Contreras, but he will stay in Chicago. All right, Don, let's bounce around a little bit and come back.
Oh, this is a good question from Andrew. Machado, Tatis Jr., and Soto. Is there a better threesome in the sport?
No.
Excuse me?
How could...
Well, come on.
What's,
clean it up.
No.
I mean, honestly, wait. The Blue Jays are... No. Yankees have two.
Yankees have... Because like Michael gave the stat. I forget what the number is. When you look at the home runs that Rizzo and Judge have. I forget. And who was it that they included? Why am I vegging, Anthony?
It honestly, it doesn't matter. I'll tell you the truth. It doesn't matter. Because when you just talk about talent, the Rizzo's still not in the conversation with those guys.
No, it's a lot of home runs. Yeah, but these are three of the most talented.
From a talent standpoint?
Terrific. Terrific play. And in San Diego.
I know.
Not in L.A., not in New York, in San Diego. Great nickname that I can't repeat from Anchorman.
Whales.
It's funny. Whenever I talk, it's funny, because anybody that's seen Anchorman knows exactly what I'm saying. If you haven't, bad job out of you, and you almost deserve not knowing because it's such a classic movie. Whenever I talk to Grasso, who we saw today, he walked around Jet Camp today like he owned the place, like he was the assistant GM. Did you see him today?
Yeah.
He was like coming out of doors that, like, there's no access. Players don't have access.
Well, listen,
anyway,
whenever
we refer to when the Chargers were there and the Padres, that's how we refer to them. Whales.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's a great nickname.
But seriously, Machado is one of the most talented players in baseball.
Yes.
Tatis.
One of the most talented players in baseball.
And then Soto. In fact, I'll let me challenge you. Rank the three of them.
Well, Soto, I think, is one.
Soto's one?
Yeah.
More talented than Tatis?
Yeah. Hmm. All right, I'm just going to, like, rant. While you continue, ENN.
All right,
I'm just gonna Google like a random top 10 players in baseball.
Let's take a look. In the meantime, here's Jeff Passan. Passan and Kirkshen together talking about the Yankees being aggressive at the deadline.
There have been deadlines past where the Yankees weren't as aggressive. This deadline, they went out and got arguably the second best starting pitcher. They went out and got arguably the best contact and on-base hitting position player. And a guy in Scott Efros, who is very interesting. He's a rookie. He's 28 years old. He's sort of a sidewinder. The Yankees have 5 years of control of him afterward. He's not going to be a free agent until the late 2020s. This is a guy the Yankees see plugging in their bullpen and being a big part of it for the next few years.
Right, and this is what teams look for these days, is someone that has a special pitch or a different delivery. And this guy is going to be different than anyone else in their bullpen. And he's had really good stuff. He had 50 strikeouts in 44 innings.
And you know what? I don't think any of this, Peter, is gratuitous. I think all the deals the Yankees made were legit needs. And you think, well, how can that be when they've got the best record in baseball? But when you've got your sights set on winning a championship and you see the deficiencies this team has had in the postseason, and you look at this rotation, let's be honest now, when you start to look at this rotation before the trade with Oakland and you see what they've done in the month of July, it's not trending in the right direction. And the rotation was probably the key reason why the team was the best team in baseball, because who thought Cortez would be so good? And Tyone was great. Montgomery was better than people had thought. And, you know, Cole's Cole. And now you've got issues with your closer. The bullpen, the earned run average is up nearly a run over the last month. You're wondering if Cortez, and now Montgomery's gone, Severino's hurt. Like, they really had to address some things here, Peter. And good on them. A lot of teams can say, well, I got the best record in baseball. What am I worried about? I got a double-digit lead in my division. What am I worried about? Well, apparently there is some worry.
So, Donald, I pulled up the stats here. Okay, I have all of them right here. You want to talk about this season or career numbers?
Well, I mean, it's tough with the career because there's more of a career for Tatis Jr., and Tatis Jr. has been hurt for a good portion of this year, but just throw whatever
it's
you want
to
throw
not that much
up.
More for Tatis Jr. What, one more year?
Yeah.
All right. Let's start with Juan Soto. Juan Soto in 2022.
Not a great year so far.
No, he's batting .246, 21 home runs, 46 RBIs. Okay.
He's also walked the most in baseball, I believe, which you can't sleep on in this day and age.
Slugging .485, OPS .894. Six stolen bases, if that means anything to you. Then we go to Manny Machado, who you once called Manny Pachado.
That was a mistake. That wasn't that I thought that was his name, but no, I can't get up from it.
You got to live with it.
Find the drop. It doesn't
He'll find
exist
it.
Unless he plays the drop.
He'll find
You're
it.
You're lying unless he plays the drop.
So here's Machado in 2022. .293, 18 home runs, 57 RBIs.
Pachado.
He's slugging .510, OPS .875.
Holy crap.
Now, here's Tatis. Now, Tatis, of course, hasn't played this year, but with that, what was it, the bike accident?
Yeah.
Tatis last season, man, he's good. Batted .282, 42 home runs, 97 RBIs, slugging .611, Don, OPS .975.
Okay, so it's certainly a debate.
I'm telling you, I think Tatis is number one talent.
And how old is he?
He's only played 3 years. This would have been his fourth.
I don't have his age right there.
No, I never know where to find him.
He's young as anything, but
you know. He's like 23, I think. Yeah.
Yes.
23.
Yeah, so same age. Yeah, okay. So it's a conversation for sure. But they're both on the same team. So
I mean, by the way, though, the point
Machado.
Is
and I just looked at like Bleacher Report had like the top 100 players in baseball. Soto was one. Machado was 25. I didn't see Tatis Jr., but he's got to be in the conversation in the top 25, I would think. So you're talking about three of the top 25 players in baseball on the same team at the same time.
I mean, listen, we talked
in a rotation that's still very good.
We talked earlier about the fear of having to deal in the playoffs with Marte, Lindor, Alonso at 2-3-4. When they get Tatis back, when is Tatis coming back?
They were talking about it. I was listening to the Met game. It sounds like he's close. I don't know the exact. He will be back, but it's got to be sooner than later. And a rotation that's got Musgrove. Snell's not having a great win-loss year. I think he's like 1-6, but you know he's pitched in big games before, you know, especially with the Rays.
I'd love to know what the World Series odds changed on San Diego.
Well, it's hard because let me look at the last. And Hugh Darvish, too. So you've got a good rotation. So it's not like they're just all offense. They're a good team. I think it was. It's 12. Yeah, so their odds probably didn't change all that much, Peter.
Well, it was
because
12
to 12. No, they're 12 back of the Dodgers.
Right.
So they're going to have another layer of playoffs to get through. So their odds aren't going to be. Their odds might be better to make the playoffs than it were before. And then maybe the odds went up, but I don't think it's like now they're the favorites because, again, they're going to have another layer of playoffs and a round of playoffs to get through more so than the Dodgers. And can they make up a 12-game? I don't think they're going to be able to make up. God, the Dodgers' run differential is 201.
And they're stupid.
Now, put that in perspective, right? Like, it's only 11 off the Yankees. So, like, the Yankees and Dodgers are just... This is going to tick a lot of people off, and I'm not rooting for because I'm a Met fan, but how much would baseball just love to see Yankees-Dodgers? First of all, you got East-West, two of the best teams in baseball. Like, they are destined.
Because it's two markets, they prefer Yankees-Dodgers to Yankees-Mets?
Oh, yeah.
Because here's the thing.
Yankees-Mets, from what I understand, and this is 20 years ago, 22 years ago now, it was like one of the lowest-rated World Series at the time. Because again, you're taking out... It's still a regional sport, Peter. You know, and as big as the Yankees are, the Mets aren't quite that big. But to get the Dodgers are huge. I mean, they're not as popular as the Yankees, but they're popular.
Yeah.
You know, laden with stars. You get the whole like number two television market, number one television market, and the two best teams playing each other.
Mm. Dead sexy.
But so much. When does that ever happen? When do you ever get the two clearly best teams in any sport play each other for the championship?
Very rare.
NBA, probably the best shot.
Well, didn't we think last year the sexiest football combo we wanted was Rodgers versus Mahomes, right?
Right.
That would have been dead sexy. Didn't get it.
No.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's take a 1 minute break from baseball because we have not once all day talked about the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, how about this?
The NFL has stripped the Dolphins of two draft picks, suspended the owner Stephen Ross as well for tampering with Tom Brady and Sean Payton. There was a 6-month investigation. The league took away a 2023 first round pick and a 2024 third round pick and fined Ross $1.5 million stemming from Brian Flores' racial discrimination lawsuit against the league. The investigation found the Dolphins did not intentionally lose games during the 2019 season, but the team had impermissible communication with Brady and his agent. Ross is suspended through October 17th. He may not be present at the team's facility and may not represent the club at any team or NFL event.
Till October?
Yeah.
Big deal.
Now, the Dolphins put out a statement earlier basically accepting the punishment, celebrating their name being cleared in Flores' biggest accusation about them tanking, but also said that they believe the punishment they received is unfair.
It's not, when you think about it, like, was it a first and the third? That's pretty significant.
The first is
the owner not being able, that's till October. So, I mean,
that's not.
So he's got to watch the game.
By the way, can I say, Don, owners being suspended means nothing, period.
No.
How does it affect your football?
Like, if there was a cocktail party he was supposed to be at, I've seen Ross, you're probably doing the cocktail party a favor by not inviting him. So, not a big deal there. Here's my conspiracy theory.
I
ready for
it.
This?
Yeah.
If they found the games were thrown, does it help the NFL to admit that?
No.
Or do you find it and you go to them and say, listen, we got you. We're going to let it slide just because we don't want to look bad. The games were thrown in our league. It's difficult to get up from. But I'm telling you, we see anything, you're losing this franchise. And we're going to embarrass you in the process. We're going to Sterling you.
Possible.
I think that's the way. Because how does it help the NFL? Because now be like, oh, and now you, the games were fixed. You know how long it took baseball to get up from the Black Sox scandal?
Right.
Hey, like, do you really want to have that on your life? And then people going back and looking at the games. And again, it's a serious allegation by me. I get it. But I just don't know how it helps Major League Baseball to admit. I mean, the NFL to admit that there were games thrown on their watch. But they're on Ross now. And I would think they would do something really bad if they found it to be happening again.
Back to baseball. Earlier today, J.D. Davis of the Mets traded to the Giants. Let's hear from Davis.
A little unfortunate. I mean, I got to say goodbye to you guys, but at the same time, selfishly a little bit, you know, I'm excited for the opportunity to play over there, especially so close to home, being on the West Coast, and just grateful for the opportunity.
Yeah, Anthony DiComo is reporting that the Mets are done. There's nothing else other than the Cub deal that we mentioned.
And, of course, the Yankees moving Joey Gallo today. Here's Aaron Boone, his message to Gallo.
First and foremost, thank you. And obviously, look, we know it's been a tough, you know, really calendar year for him. And I don't know. And I'll have a conversation with him, and I have a lot of respect for him. I have a lot of respect for how he worked, how he carried himself, who he was in that room. And I think a lot of us really feel for the situation he was in and the burden he felt and carried. And I think a lot of us, myself included, very much hope that he goes and, you know, kind of recaptures what we all know he's capable of doing, and you know, I'll truly be kind of rooting for him from afar.
And that's not hollow. He doesn't have to go that far, but he did because he liked him. We had Rizzo on a couple of weeks ago, genuinely liked Gallo. He was good in that room. Again, I don't want to sound like the poster child for defending Gallo, but my point is that fans that want to kill him or discuss, I'm even seeing people like killing you for ripping the Yankee fans and, you know, justifying hating him because he didn't make the necessary adjustments. Guys in the room liked him. I mean, does that mean anything? Yeah, I know he struck out. I know he did not contribute offensively. He's gone and good riddance as far as the stats are concerned. But for any fan to be proud that they drove him out of town and just almost feel great that New York is such a difficult place to play because you killed this guy on and off the field. Well, you don't think the Yankees want to win? You don't think Aaron Boone wants to win? And they still love the guy and appreciated whatever contributions he made. So the Yankee fan hated his guts, and I guess rightly so, but the abuse that they might have given him, was it justified? I guess in your eyes it was. To me, maybe they went a little bit too far, and I do feel for him. And good for him in L.A., and let's see he does something with the Dodgers. And Yankees got something in return for him, so now we can move on and kill Donaldson.
I'm so glad you said that. That's what I would have said it if you didn't say it. Because we know exactly what's happening. Here's Jeff Passan on SportsCenter earlier talking about the deal that got Juan Soto to San Diego.
This is very simply the largest trade package we've ever seen for an individual player. The amount of talent going back to the Washington Nationals matches the amount of talent going to the San Diego Padres for Juan Soto. They're getting Mackenzie Gore, a left-hander. They're getting Robert Hassel, an outfielder, CJ Abrams, a shortstop, Harlan Susana, a right-handed pitcher, 18 years old, throws 100 miles per hour. James Wood, second round pick last year, fantastic talent, 6'7", 240 pounds, the biggest power perhaps in the minor leagues, as well as a major league player believed to be Eric Hosmer at this point, though he has Washington on his no trade list, and so that'll have to be worked out. Point is, when the Washington Nationals set out to trade Juan Soto after he rejected their 15-year, $440 million contract offer, they were looking for talent. And the San Diego Padres from the beginning had more talent that they were willing to give than any other team, and that is why this deal got done.
Now, that's obviously from earlier. Hosmer not in the deal, got traded to the Red Sox, but they were still able to work it out. They get Bell as well, who's having a monster season for the Nationals, now go to the Padres. And Peter, I get about the prospects. It's just air. We don't know. But 5-6 years from now, if the Padres don't win and they lose Soto in free agency, and all these names that were rattled off by Passan that we'd never heard of are like stars for the Nationals and they're winning a championship. So that's the hope that Washington has, but San Diego's obviously living in it now. They got a hell of a team, and they think they can make a run. We'll see.
I know it hurts Nationals fans. I've heard from some today. I know it does. The fact of the matter is, though, you got a championship with Soto.
Right.
They lost other pieces. Don't forget, it started with Rendon, then Scherzer. Prior to any of this, it was obviously Harper before the World Series. And so it is tough to start over again, but to your point, Don, at least they got a haul that you can actually start over with.
Right.
That's what the point is.
Yeah, that's for a player that they felt like they made a fair offer to, although I think everybody agrees that it wasn't fair.
Not particularly fair, no.
That you were going to lose in 2.5 years. You're not really close to winning with him. So you're probably going to lose him in free agency. You get something back, and we'll see. As you said, what was it, the 2019? It wasn't that long ago you won. Padres have never won, by the way. Been to the World Series a couple of times. Won one World Series game. They lost in 5 to the Tigers, got swept by the Yankees. So they want to win, and they got a chance.
Let's hear from Jack Curry on Yes.
That's right.
On the Jordan Montgomery deal.
We've talked throughout the day about how Brian Cashman and his staff are always looking to improve, even if it's around the edges. One thing that you heard at Yankee Stadium and talking to Yankee officials this season is they wanted to get a true center fielder. Can Aaron Judge play center field? Yes, he played it at a gold glove level when he was out there. But the Yankees prefer him in a corner spot because you want to keep him as healthy as possible. You add Bader, he won a gold glove last year for the Cardinals, so you can slide him in there as a defensive player in center field. They'll figure out their outfield alignment. Obviously, you have Hicks out there. You're going to have Stanton out there. We know they just added Benintendi. And in Montgomery, I'm a little surprised because I always thought that the Yankees have had high hopes for Montgomery. I always thought the ceiling was higher than they were actually getting from him. This year, he's been very consistent. He's only had 3 starts in which he allowed 3 earned runs or more. But the struggles have happened recently, Chris. And in adding Montas a starter, they now shed a starter in Montgomery.
So they didn't replace him. Unless you want to say Montas replaces him from the trade yesterday. So Montgomery, I guess, was not in their plans in the postseason. So if, let's just say for sake of argument, Peter, Severino doesn't come back or comes back and you're unsure about him, are you comfortable with a rotation of Cole, Montas, Cortez, and Tyone? Am I missing anybody? Because Severino could be hurt. Montgomery's gone. Or maybe they believe Domingo Herman, who has a chance to get back whatever he had before allegations and the injury.
Herman's a wild card. I think we don't know. I mean, he could.
He's
still
got a chance here, right? The Yankees have a pretty decent lead in the division. Looks like he's going to get a start every 5 days. I guess he could be built up into being an option, and then they must think a better option than what Montgomery could have been.
All right. We will keep you posted as the show goes on, if anything else trickles in. One other interesting story, Don. Greg Norman revealed what Tiger was offered to join LIV.
Okay.
Any
Live. Watch.
I think I've addressed that about as thoroughly as I'm going to.
I chose what's best for me and my family.
I'm tired of all this stuff. I mean, it's a situation.
I'm surprised at a lot of these guys because they say one thing and then they do another.
What did Dustin Johnson get?
250?
All right.
250 million, maybe?
But Tiger's on the back nine.
That's right. But it's Tiger. It's El Tigre.
I will say half a billion dollars, $500 million.
Well, it's a good guess, Don.
Okay.
Unfortunately, you're well short.
Oh, wow.
The offer was in the range of $700 to $800 million. The Tiger turned down. And I'll tell you what, I truly appreciate it. Tiger is at a point in his life where I think he finally is being like truly cheered on by the public, and just said he already has $1 billion. Probably just thought, do I need this?
Well, he still
and he loves the PGA.
All right, so how much? So that would be for how long? $800 million for
how many years?
Yeah,
I don't know.
All right, so how much money is he making now?
My guess would be 10. Would be 10? No, maybe 5 years, 5 to 10 years.
All right, so how much is he making now?
Well, in just from the PGA?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the PGA is weird because it's based on how you finish. So he's not making that much currently.
Yeah, but he's also made a ton of money. He's among the top.
No, he's made career-wise, his earnings are the highest ever.
Right.
And plus the video game money, the Nike money is nearly $1 billion. He's made a ton of money.
Listen, from a financial standpoint, it made no sense. All right? So don't even talk about it making sense. It doesn't.
No.
But what he's saying is, at that stage of his career, he still feels being a PGA champion, playing the PGA. He still respects the PGA, respects those tournaments, and figures, I've made my money. I'm not going to go run and go make that money. Because, again, it doesn't matter. What do you play, like three rounds? Is there even cuts? You just play, right? So there'd be no pressure to win. He'd win that, and he could finish last every tournament. He's still making that much money. But that just shows you at this stage of his career, he just respects the PGA. And maybe he's betting on the fact that he wouldn't be allowed at some point to play in these majors.
According to Forbes, Tiger is estimated to be worth at least $1 billion. He's one of just three known billionaire athletes.
And somebody's offering him close to another $1 billion to almost do nothing.
Yeah, he's up there with LeBron and Jordan. But if he was to have accepted that.
So he wants to beat Jack. And it sounds at least next year there'd be no open.
Impossible.
And you're not going to play in the PGA Championship,
and also,
right?
Also, he's looking at the big picture. The money, of course, is unbelievable. But he already has an unfathomable amount of money. And Don, does he want to age into the rest of his career being banished by the PGA?
And this is a guy also, think about it, this is a guy that doesn't like to hear the click of a camera when he's teeing off. They're playing music at LIV, right?
Oh, he hates that. He hates the lack of
tradition. He probably has no respect for it, and I have a ton of respect for Tiger that even $800 million
did not move him.
Can't move him. That's awesome, man.
All right, that will do it for ENN, this very special ENN, brought to you by the Professional Fighters League. It's back Friday, August 5th. That's this Friday. Watch MMA's League live from the Hulu Theater at MSG. Tickets now, PFLMMA.com.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.